Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other things of interest. Today's podcast is number 8 on devotionals. You know, sometimes spiritual ideas and audiobooks merge. Today is one of those days. In fact, this is the first of probably 3 programs on this theme. I'm starting today with devotional books. I've had the pleasure of producing 2 very different devotionals, and we're going to look at both of them today. The first is Patty J. Smith's devotional, Amended Heart, Rosary Meditations on Forgiveness. Patty's book looks at forgiveness through events that we find in the life of Jesus. She starts at the very beginning of the story of Jesus with the Annunciation, the announcement of Gabriel to Mary of her coming pregnancy, and goes through to the resurrection of the Savior. She deals with issues of trust, welcoming, faith, abandonment, beginning anew, temptation, hearing truth, and more. And as the title indicates, the devotional is designed around the rosary. I want to play you 3 excerpts from this devotional. The first is taken from Jesus' baptism in the Jordan. Baptism, Patty writes, is a new beginning, and sometimes that has to be the very foundation of forgiveness. 1. Baptism in the Jordan. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Matthew 3:13-15. Baptism is a new beginning, becoming a child of God. It represents love and acceptance. In our day-to-day lives, we have come across people, familiar or strangers, that belittle us because we are different. We may have a different skin color, come from another culture, be overweight, scarred, handicapped, or mentally challenged. People treat these differences as imperfections, dirty, frightening, or evil. They walk by us with sneers, point at us and laugh, or they go out of their way to avoid any type of contact whatsoever. There are also those who pity and patronize us. They do everything for us, even if we are capable, because they assume we are not. If we resist help, we are ungrateful, and if we accept, we're taking advantage. We become ashamed of who we are and shy away from people, places, and activities. We feel unwelcomed, ugly, and unloved. Jesus, please guide me to be more compassionate, loving, tolerant, and accepting towards those different than me, and help me be an example for others. Please be merciful to my offenders, to me if I have offended, and open my heart to forgiveness. The second excerpt comes from the Transfiguration of Jesus. This is the incident where Peter, James, and John are allowed to witness the true glory of Jesus. At the end of this, God speaks an exhortation to them, proclaiming that Jesus is his Son and should be heard. 4. The Transfiguration. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Mark 7. During the Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus as human and divine. God announced to them Jesus was his Son, and to listen to him. We are bound to the same edict as Peter, James, and John, to listen. Dearest Jesus, we are surrounded by people with deviant lifestyles who proclaim their ways do not go against your teachings. They manipulate your words of love, forgiveness, and acceptance in order to justify their immorality. we are expected to accept their interpretation of your word and disregard everything we had ever been taught. We're expected to consider their behavior as normal and are expected to allow our children to be taught the same. Please keep my ears and eyes open to hear and see the truth. Do not allow me to blindly accept the unacceptable. Through love and tolerance, help me guide the misguided. Help me explain to them your words do not condone deviancy, but offer love, forgiveness, and acceptance upon repentance. Help me walk with them on the path of redemption. Please be merciful to my offenders, to me if I have offended, and open my heart to forgiveness. And finally, the author leaves us with these words. A note from the author. When meditating on forgiveness, we should feel released from a very heavy burden. The tears that flow will cleanse and refresh the soul. I firmly believe God holds us in His arms when we open up old wounds and new ones to forgiveness. Through the Holy Spirit, He sends us the courage and strength to finally heal. It is important, too, that during these meditations, to include ourselves. I know through experience that forgiving myself was a task I was not willing to undertake for quite some time. To acknowledge my faults was one thing, but to forgive them was a different story altogether. I was convinced the consequences I suffered were deserved, and the shame was something I would have to live with forever as penance. A final thought. When we acknowledge our sins and repent to Him, He forgives us. Who are we to think we can undo what He has already done? So praise Him, thank Him, and move forward with a renewed heart and spirit. That's Patty J. Smith's Amended Heart, Rosary Meditations on Forgiveness. You can find it on my website, narrationbygeorge.com, or at myhelpinghandspress.com. Michelle Huey has written a very different devotional. God, Me, and a Cup of Tea is taken from her award-winning column and deals with a wide range of topics. For instance, A Glimpse of the Harvest talks about the work we do in God's kingdom, which never seems to bear fruit. Searching for Signal homes in on hearing from God each day. Michelle writes in a very practical way, as you will hear, using illustrations we can all identify with. Let's listen to a couple. First, we'll hear Lazarus at My Gate, and then we'll move directly to Tracking Number. Lazarus at My Gate, Luke 16:19-31. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew 6:33, King James Version. Global seems to be the latest buzzword. You've got to think, speak, and act globally. No more the small-town mindset. Anyone who isn't sophisticated, well-informed, and technologically savvy just isn't with it these days. This global philosophy has infiltrated the Christian ranks, too. We're to pray for the world, for the country, for worldwide missions, for people we don't know and probably never will. Now, this isn't bad. Someone needs to pray for world peace and give to missions. There are those who can handle this information overload. I am not one of them. Quite frankly, it depresses me. I'm overwhelmed by prayer lists that grow longer and more disheartening by the day. I feel helpless when I read of a 100-year-old woman on her way to church who's mugged by an addict who targets elderly women to get his drug money, of children and animals that are tortured and killed, of government officials who are more interested in playing politics, posturing, and pointing fingers than running the country, of misused money that was sent in good faith to alleviate others' suffering. Do I really need to know all of this? My global prayers seem weak, bumbling, pat, and ineffective. I keep thinking of the question God asked Moses, "What is that in your hand?" Exodus 4:2. And then I see the need to focus on what I have in my hand. I'm sensing the need to reach out to people around me who are hurting, something I've neglected because I've been too focused on the global. I realize God has been saying, "Look to the Lazarus at your gate." The older I get, the more people whom I know will be hospitalized, lose loved ones, experience crises. These are the Lazaruses at my gate, yet I've insulated and isolated myself from my immediate world in pursuit of the global. How many decades did Mother Teresa labor in the ghettos of India unnoticed? Now, this woman didn't think globally. Yet her words resonate in my soul. God has not called me to be successful. He has called me to be faithful. When we focus too much on the global, we can overlook the people around us, family, neighbors, those we meet at church, in the store, at ball games, and on the street, because we may think ministering to them is too small. But the globe is made up of folks like these. And if we reached out and touched them, the ripples will be felt in all the world. Dear God, open my eyes to the Lazarus at my gate today. Amen. Tracking number, Psalm 121. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Psalm 121:8, New International Version. The verdict was in. My old laptop couldn't be fixed. My computer guy tried, ordered an internal jack to replace the bad one that was causing the screen to flicker and a too frequent for comfort loss of power. But he couldn't get into the computer to replace it. Now, in the days preceding the verdict, I'd prayed about the decision whether to buy a new laptop or repair the old one. So when I got the news, I told my husband, "That's my answer." I'd already pored through Consumer Reports and visited the websites of the companies making the models that were my top choices. I'd pretty much made up my mind which laptop would suit my needs and pocketbook. So when a little chat with a representative window popped up, I clicked on it. I told the rep I needed it no later than Friday. It was Monday. I was scheduled to fly to Colorado Springs the following week for a writing stint, and I needed the laptop in time to set it up and get somewhat used to it before I left. "No problem," he wrote. "I'll schedule it for expedited shipping at no extra cost." So I ordered it. A nice, sleek laptop that was half the size and the bulk of the old one, and I had enough money left over to buy a much-needed all-in-one printer. In the confirmation email the company sent me was a tracking number. By clicking on it, I could follow my order en route from the distribution facility across the country to my home. And that's what I did. From Tuesday to Thursday, I watched the laptop's progress from Carlsbad, California, to San Diego, to Indianapolis, to Pittsburgh, to Johnstown, to my home. I even had a pretty good idea the hour it would come. I sat by the front window most of the day, waiting. Then, when it arrived, you can believe I did one big happy dance. Similarly, God watches our progress from birth to death. We're all special orders to Him. We're the apple of His eye, Psalm 17:8. Beloved, precious, and honored, Isaiah 43:4. Some of us are on an expedited route that will arrive home sooner than others, but most of us, I dare say, are going home by way of ground shipment, which will take longer and will have more parking spots and bumps along the way. Our Heavenly Father knows every stone, every pothole, every mountain and valley, every river that must be crossed. But better yet, He does the happy dance when we finally arrive on the doorstep of our eternal home. Dear God, You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in Your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that You are thinking of me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day Your thoughts turn towards me, and when I wake in the morning, You are still thinking of me. Psalm 139, 16 to 18, Living Bible. Awesome. Thank You. Amen. Here's some additional scriptures to read. Psalm 139, 1 Peter 3:12, Jeremiah 24:6, and 2 Chronicles 16:9. That's Michelle Huey's devotional, God, Me, and a Cup of Tea. It's available from Helping Hands Press and narrated and produced by Narration by George. You can find this and Patty J. Smith's Amended Heart by going to my website. It's narrationbygeorge.com. Click on Books and scroll down to Devotional Books. If you'd like to see more from both of these books, they're being featured this week on my Facebook and Twitter pages with quotations from each one. You can like me on Facebook to find them. I'm Narration by George. On Twitter, my handle is @narrationbygeo. Not all books on spiritual ideas are devotional books. They can be novels, too. Next week, I'll introduce you to two novels which tell spiritual stories in very special ways. Join me for the next Narration by George podcast. It'll be available next Wednesday. That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. We invite you to check out my previous podcasts on iTunes or on my website, narrationbygeorge.com. Just click on podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast player and not miss a single episode. Go to narrationbygeorge.com and click on the subscribe link for instructions. See you next week as we again look at the merger of audiobooks and spiritual ideas. I'm your host, George Taylor. Bye now.